I'm Heidi Holton. Thanks for choosing this KAXE-KBXE conversation. We are member-supported radio, a National Public Radio affiliate in northern Minnesota. We need your support for our radio broadcasts, our online content, and our podcast. Go to KAXE.org, and thanks for listening. We're listening to music from Grace Potter and the Nocturnals. The song's called Tiny Light, and talking about the struggle and the battle and the light that guides you through. It reminds me of the main characters of A River of Stars by Vanessa Waugh. It is a new book out. It's just out this week, last week. And here's a couple of quotes about the novel.
From the BBC, they write, "Bristles with timely detail and unexpected pivots as two desperate women find family and community to support their struggle for freedom."
And USA Today said, "Vanessa Waugh's story spins with wild fervor, with charming protagonists fiercely motivated by maternal and survival instincts. A River of Stars is a migrant narrative tenderly constructed around Scarlett's quest to carve a life for her daughter and herself at the risk of deportation." Vanessa Waugh joins us now. She's a columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, and she's been writing in journalism and fiction for two decades now. Vanessa, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on this morning.
You're welcome. So Scarlett is so tough, so is Daisy, but I wonder if we can kind of meet these characters. Tell us about Scarlett.
Sure. So Scarlett Chen is a Chinese peasant, but left home as a teenager from the village to find work in the factories. Part of China's rapid economic development has resulted in this migration from the countryside to the cities. So she's been trying to, you know, going to night school, like trying to better herself, moving from opportunity to opportunity. But in her 30s, she starts, she and her boss at the factory start having an affair. And when he believes that he's having a son, he decides that she should go to America to a maternity tourism center, which we can talk about more, so that their children will get U.S. citizenship, the child will get U.S. citizenship. She's, you know, always wondered, she's been ambivalent about being a mother, but realizes this is maybe her last chance at 36. But when she discovers that he, you know, he betrays her, she decides to take off with Daisy, a pregnant teenage stowaway, in tow.
So maternity, what did you call it? Maternity tourism?
Maternity tourism centers.
So that these exist, and can you tell us about these? I was surprised to read about this, I guess.
Yeah, maternity hotels is another kind of term for them. So when I was pregnant with my twins and living in Southern California, I began hearing about this phenomena. What was happening in these suburban homes, like the neighbors were baffled. They were asking, why are these Chinese women, pregnant Chinese women, coming and going? And it sounded like a brothel in reverse. What it turned out was that they were coming here to, about a month before giving birth, so that, you know, in giving birth, so their children would get U.S. citizenship, and then they would immediately, you know, go back to their country. And it just got me wondering, being pregnant is one of the most vulnerable times in a woman's life. And, you know, if, to be so far away from friends and family, what was it about U.S. citizenship that was so important to them for their children?
Wow. Yeah. And we really get to explore that, especially in the first part of the book. And for Scarlett, you know, she's been told that she's, you know, she's a pretty independent woman. She's not a teenager. And, you know, she's been told this is going to be a great place and wants to have this opportunity for their kid. She's going to be treated like royalty. And it's really farther, it couldn't be farther from the truth how she's treated when she's there.
Yeah, it's a virtual prison in a way. And in fact, one of the news stories I read at the time said that the neighbor said, oh, a woman showed up on my doorstep saying she was hungry, so I took her to McDonald's, but then brought her back, you know? So because, and I just thought about that, how frustrating it must be to be, like, stranded virtually and, you know, sort of reliant on the people at the maternity hotel, or even on the, you know, the kindness of strangers. And just, you know, for me, my fiction often begins with this, you know, a premise or a circumstance, and trying to figure out what kind of character, you know, finds himself in this situation, what brought them there, and what they're going to do to get out of it.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more. So they are kind of on the run, Scarlet and Daisy. They end up in Chinatown. This is not an easy life for them either, as they are not citizens of the United States. They really have not many resources at all, but they're pretty wily women. Tell us where they end up in the kind of the community they create there.
Sure. Yeah, I've been telling people when they ask about my novel that it's a pregnant Thelma and Louise.
So,
you know, there's a bit of a road trip, and then they end up in San Francisco's Chinatown, which is a community I've been familiar with as the American-born daughter of Chinese immigrants growing up in the Bay Area. You know, it's a place we'd go for dim sum or groceries or just to kind of get a boost of Chinese culture. It's the oldest Chinatown in the U.S. And yet is continually revitalized by newcomers, you know, who are still arriving to come live in this place that serves as a landing pad and a jumping off point for new immigrants. But what's so interesting to me is often, you know, it's a huge tourist attraction. You'll see people with their big cameras wandering about, you know, stopping by the restaurants, taking in the scene. But that's only the ground level. If you look up, you see other stories, you know, people's clothes are hanging in the windows, and as a journalist, I've had an opportunity to go inside and see what life is like. I mean, it's, you know, very cramped. It's communal kitchen and bathroom, but the doors are open. So you kind of, in a way, it's like a little bit of a small town community. Everyone knows each other's business. The kids are running around. And so for Scarlett, who's been had her guard up by necessity for so long, it's a place where she kind of is able to make a makeshift family and is able to make a home. After running for so long, maybe for, you know, all her life, this is a place where she can feel safe and secure from, you know, the forces that would take her baby away or, that would harm her and the life that she's hoping to build for her child.
That's Vanessa Hua. Her new novel is out. It's called A River of Stars.
Vanessa, the book is about immigration, and it is, but the title is A River of Stars. How does that connect to the storyline?
Yes, it's based on one of my favorite Chinese myths. It was just Friday that the holiday occurred. It's a myth based on the lowly cow herder and a fairy weaver who fall in love, but her mother, the Queen of Heaven, gets angry, so she scratches her hairpin across the night sky, creating a river of stars, that is to say, the Milky Way. And the lovers are stranded on each side of the river, but once a year, on the night of this festival, a flock of magpies flies up and forms a bridge that the lovers can walk and reunite upon. And that's because a third planet appears between Altair and Vega and seems to create this bridge. And for me, it so beautifully reflects sort of that myth reflects the sort of the distance and separation and hope for reunification that immigrants have. But in the novel, it also represents the distance between lovers and between mothers and daughters and sort of the ways in which we hope to bridge that distance.
You know, it was so interesting to me, this tie that Scarlett, I think she was surprised that she was thinking so much of her mother, because she didn't have a great relationship with her mom. But as she's pregnant and as she's raising her daughter, these things kind of come back to her. And I feel like it also kind of ties into she was thought to be having a boy, what males mean in Chinese culture too, and kind of the roles of both men and women. And I wonder if you'd kind of tell us more about that, is how she's exploring these things.
Sure. After I gave birth, my husband and I started raising our kids, you begin to realize, or at least for me, like I just began thinking very deeply about how I was raised and what it must have been like for my mother, or for my mother-in-law. And I think it's just something that invariably happens, that, you know, how you're thinking about what you're going to pass on or, you know, what you're going to do your own way. And for Scarlett, her relationship has been complicated with her mother because her mother was widowed and by necessity had to work at a family planning clinic enforcing the one child policy, which in China, you know, it just had very harsh consequences for women. It could result in forced abortion, forced serialization. And so by the time Scarlett was a teenager, she said, she was seeking a different life. Part of that was, you know, trying to get away from what her mother was doing. And yet there's something about becoming a mother that she began to realize, you know, began to understand the choices her mother made. And to see, I mean, in so many ways, our parents are mysteries, right? We don't know who they were before, you know, we were born. And just trying to really understand her as a person and not just her mother. And having children can do that to you, I think, just reflecting back and reflecting into the future in that whole sort of chain of connection. The preference for boys in traditional Chinese culture coupled with the one-child policy had, you know, all these consequences, for China and the world as a whole, honestly, and also for Scarlett personally.
You know, we started this off with a couple of the quotes about your books and about this book, River of Stars, and another quote that was from Anthony Mara. He talks about this John Berger assertion that never again shall a single story be told as though it was the only one. And I thought that was just almost chilling, that sentence, in terms of the story that you've created here. Can you kind of talk about that? What this one story to, you know, is more than one story, of course. There's more characters in here, but what that means to the experience in general.
Yeah, I love that quote from Tony. I was so honored when he offered that that blurb. And for me, I think he totally saw deeply inside my book and understood that, you know, the Chinese American community is not a monolith. Even individuals aren't a monolith. We are not only one thing in our lifetime. And the fact is, what hopefully my book reflects is just some of the wide diversity that you see even within a community in terms of people's histories, the dialects they speak, where they're from, their motivations, their dreams and ambitions. And the more fully you can show people as they are, the less likely they're going to be reduced to stereotype or statistic.
You can find more information on journalist and novelist Vanessa Wah and her book, River of Stars. It's at her website, VanessaWah.com. Thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Monday Morning Show.